You don't get into heaven by faith alone. You get justified by faith alone. You get into a position where God is 100% for you by faith alone. And in order to get into heaven, that faith must bear the fruit of love.
This is a perfect example of trying to shoehorn Calvinism into the Bible. The Bible doesn't support it. It pushes back against it. But they take their tulip and they jam it in there. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. You're watching Bibleline. Today we're reacting to a video that was sent to us about John Piper saying that you cannot get into heaven by faith alone. Let's take a look.
How do you get into heaven? You don't get into heaven by faith alone. You get justified by faith alone. You get into a position where God is 100% for you by faith alone. And in order to get into heaven, that faith must bear the fruit of love. Pursue the holiness without which you will not see the Lord. Put to death the deeds of the body and you will live.
Okay, so that's where we made the first cut in this video. You're going to see the link to the entire clip down in the description. We don't want you to think that we're just cutting things out that fit our description. But to be honest, if we were to just let the whole thing play, I'd be reacting to an entire sermon. We're taking flashpoints that are given to us because these are very inflammatory statements and they're contradictory to the scripture. He's going to go on and use Romans 8:13 and Hebrews 12:14 to support his point that if you don't do these things, you're going to die spiritually, and you will not see the Lord in your final glorification. Now, he's a Calvinist. I don't think that Piper would disagree with that. So he believes in two justifications. We need to set the stage on what these justifications are. He thinks that a person is justified by faith alone in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That brings about initial justification, and then final justification happens through the process of maintaining and keeping good works, putting things to the flesh, killing sin and pursuing holiness. That's his whole thing. But you're going to find by the end of this video, he goes right back to you can't do those things unless you're justified before God. So we're going to pause for a moment before I let him speak any further, and we're going to let the word of God speak clearly. The first thing I want you to notice is that there is no set of circumstances where a person is justified, which means declared righteous, in a good standing in the court of God. There is no biblical support that ever comes by your works. Living in holiness, which is to be set apart, or by killing the deeds of the flesh. That does not bring about final justification. You believe, you receive, you are positionally in Christ. That will never change, regardless of how you behave. And I want you to see that in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 9. Paul says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Now, would it be a valid statement to say that Paul meant here, not having mine own righteousness, except the natural killing of the deeds of the flesh and living in holiness? Because that would be good works for ourselves. No, we do those things through our new nature, which is born of God and cannot sin because it is born of God, 1 John 3:9. Go back to the verse here. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. This totally separates the idea that there's an initial justification and a final justification. The initial justification is the only justification. If there are two justifications, there's one before God, which is done by faith in Jesus Christ, and there's one before man, where your faith is dead if it doesn't have works. Doesn't mean it's dead before God, in that he does not recognize that you're saved anymore. It's profitless to those who see you here on the earth before man. So let's let him continue here, and then I'll go to another. Actually, he already said it. He said, you can't get to heaven. You get justified by faith alone, but that's not going to get you to heaven. Okay, well, I'm going to go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, And I'm going to just read this to you. This is the rapture passage, but there's a very clear statement that's made. It's in verse 17, but we're going to read before that so we set context. Verse 13, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now here's my clutch passage, the crucial point here. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is very clear in that those who, verse 14, believe that Jesus died and rose again, which I believe is talking about salvation, regardless of when you believe the rapture is going to happen, before the tribulation, in the middle, or at the end, whenever the Lord comes back, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ will be with the Lord forever. There is nothing here about good works, about maintaining the killing of sin, or the final justification. This clearly says you're going to be with the Lord forever. So then you have the words of Piper that say, no, you can't get to heaven by faith alone. You get justified by faith alone, but you don't get to heaven by faith alone. Says who? That I get passionate about this because the Bible doesn't teach that, but just because he says it strongly doesn't mean that it's true. And you've got to watch out for stuff like this. Let's let him continue here.
We should not speak of getting into heaven at the last day through the last judgment, when all of our lives are assessed for whether there's been any transformation confirming the reality of the faith which alone justifies.
I got to stop him there because he just said a mouthful. Okay, what he's saying here is that there's a final judgment for, and I don't know if he's talking about the great white throne judgment, because that is the final, final judgment where all of the dead who are dead because of unbelief stand before God and give an account and then they're sentenced to hell. Or is he talking about the judgment of the believer where their works are put on trial and they're tested by that same fire, but they're saved from that fire, which is in 1 Corinthians 3. He's not clear, but what he does very clearly say is that there's a judgment for believers where their works are going to prove if they're saved or not. I don't see that judgment in the Bible. Follow me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it, the works, shall be revealed, made known by fire, and the fire shall try every man. That's not what it says. Man's work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. And I love how reassuring Paul is here. But he himself, which now it separates the man from his work, the first time in the passage, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So I don't know what judgment Piper's talking about. It's not one in the Bible.
We should not say you can live like the devil and get to heaven.
You know, I would agree with that. We shouldn't say that. But that's not, I don't know why he's bringing that up in context here. You can live a carnal, wicked life and put your faith in Jesus Christ and show no fruit. You should not do that, but you can do it, and you will pay a price for that. Well, it's not, you know, some people say, well, it's not a heavy enough price. Careful that you're not looking at the speck in your brother's eye and ignoring the mote in your own. Careful. Let God be the one who decides what is adequate. If God says eternal life is eternal life, then I think that's good. Shouldn't change that because I see my brother neglecting the free gift of eternal life. And that's what I think a lot of these guys do.
So, essential to the Christian life and necessary for final salvation is the killing of sin, Romans 8:13, and the pursuit of holiness, Hebrews 12:14.
All right, let's take a look at those two passages. Romans chapter 8 in verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." I don't see anything here that is supporting the death that a person shall die is eternal separation from God. This is the very same passage that concludes with there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. What he means by if you live through the Spirit, do you mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. You're going to have a life here in which, unless you are persecuted for your faith and you die as a result of that, you will not come under the judgment of God here where he will take you out of this life. I don't know why he's reading salvation into this. The only thing I could see possibly is in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." This statement, though, does not mean that a person is led and then they obey, they are the sons of God. Every believer is led by the Holy Spirit. That's because they are a believer. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit, but not every believer obeys. And the book of Hebrews is all about this. The sin of unbelief. Not unbelief in that you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ. Unbelief in that you do not believe in what God says for the Christian life. Living a separated and holy life. You will come under consequences. And it's a fearful thing. It's not hell, though. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, he makes a statement here where this is where he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." No man will be able to stand before God without the proper sanctification, not in this life, but we're set apart because we've put our faith in Jesus Christ and we're forever perfected. Does it say that somewhere? Yes, it does. In Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the body," excuse me, "through the offering of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ once for all. And I will not stand in my glorified body. I will not stand there with my sin nature. I will not see the Lord with my eyes in my sin condition, in my sinful condition. I'm looking forward to the day when I will be glorified. But I'm not looking to my works to prove that I will be glorified. My works prove that I'm obedient. And God will reward me for that. Verse 14, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One offering. Did Jesus die on the cross? Yes. Did you believe on him? Yes. You're forever perfected. But what if I don't keep good, what if I don't keep good works and do good things? Then you're disobedient. You're disobeying God and he will discipline you for it. Does that mean that I'll go to hell? No, you're forever sanctified. You're perfected because you're placed in Christ Jesus. So let's listen to the rest of this that he says.
Mortification of sin, sanctification in holiness. And what makes that possible and pleasing to God is what? Now these next two sentences are absolutely crucial.
And absolutely confusing. Listen closely.
"For you're living the Christian life in a way that pleases the Lord." What makes it possible for you to kill sin, pursue holiness, which are essential for going to heaven?
Okay, so he's very clearly just told you, a man is justified by his works. Kill sin, pursue holiness, you get to go to heaven. Philippians 3:9, we read that. Disagrees with John Piper. So you got to make a choice. And I honestly don't care if you don't think I have the credentials and you don't think I have all the education and stuff. This is what I'm showing you, what the Bible says. And you've got to make a decision. Those of you who follow this man, you've got to make a decision. Is he right and the Bible wrong? And you got to be okay with saying, yeah, well, I get what he's saying. He just very clearly said works produce eternal life or getting to heaven. Now, he's going to contradict that in a moment.
We put sin to death and we pursue holiness from a justified position where God is 100% for us already.
But he just said, we can't know if we're in that justified position unless we kill sin and pursue holiness. How does that make sense? It doesn't.
By faith alone.
I almost like wonder if I'm missing something. He said, we don't get to heaven by faith alone. We get to heaven by killing sin, pursuing holiness, of which we cannot do unless we are justified 100% before God by faith alone.
You are in that position where God is 100% for you by faith alone, and from that position, you now put sins to death and you now pursue holiness from that position.
So I would say that is walking in the Spirit, which comes by faith alone in Christ alone. You put to death the deeds of the flesh, you walk unto the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. That's a biblical statement. I would agree with what he just said in that little snippet right there. But here comes the second most important thing he says in living the Christian life. And by the way, this whole 100%, you're going to see he's going to go 95%, which is just, you know, a way to get, you know, 5%. If salvation is 5% dependent on you, you're going to hell and so am I. It's 100% dependent upon Jesus Christ's shed blood, his death, burial, and resurrection. You put your faith in him, it's 100% done. Or is it 95%? That 5% sends people into a manic depression. I've seen it. Because there's nothing good within us. And they continually try and try and try to prove that they're saved by their works, and they get nowhere.
And here's the second sentence that's all important. If we try to put sin to death and pursue holiness from a position where we're not fully accepted,
which, I hate to pause him here, would be trying to live in a way that is pleasing to God without being accepted by him, which is denying Jesus Christ as a person's savior, okay? There's none good. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Let's see what he says here.
Not fully forgiven, not fully righteous in Christ, where God is not 100% for us, but maybe only 95% for us.
God is 0% for the sinner trying to earn their righteousness. 0%. It's not even a quarter of a percent. Your good works are never going to be accepted as a means of righteousness. I don't understand the 95% thing here. That points, again, the person to themselves. Look at me, look at me. I'm doing this and this and this. A lost person can go to church and read their Bible and love their families and raise their kids and give money and still end up going to hell. And a saved person can do all those things too. What's the difference? One rejected Jesus Christ, the other believed on him. That's the difference.
Then we will be putting sin to death and pursuing holiness as a means of getting in there.
That's the video. And I think it's important to recognize here. It's so, I was talking to Trent about this. It's so hard to figure out and pin where he's at, because he says, you can't get into heaven by faith alone. You get justified before God by faith alone. But in order to get to heaven, you have to kill sin and pursue holiness. But you can't kill sin and pursue holiness unless you are justified before God, which only comes by faith alone. And so if you're killing sin and pursuing holiness in your flesh, then you can't use it as a means to get there. Folks, I just feel like ending the video here, because I think that stands for itself. This is a perfect example of trying to shoehorn Calvinism into the Bible. The Bible doesn't support it. It pushes back against it. But they take their tulip and they jam it in there. So send your questions in. I think we've done a good job giving a response to this. Leave a comment of maybe other places you see this kind of doctrine. We'd love to react to it. But you can email us questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. We'll do our best to get you a response. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Take care and God bless you.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.